Talk to Dad.
Hello and welcome to the Talk to Dad podcast, episode 188. I've got Henry here with me.
Hello.
How's it going, Henry?
Pretty good.
188 is a lot of episodes.
Yeah.
We need to do a couple right away because we're going to be leaving for Italy soon.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to be leaving for Italy in XIV days.
So 14?
Yeah. Oh, 2 weeks from today, we'll be on a plane.
Hmm.
Flying over the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah, it's kind of weird to think about. I keep on forgetting that I'm going to Rome.
Yeah.
Somehow.
What do you think of overnight airplane flights? You've done it twice, I guess. To Japan, I mean, and on the way back from Japan.
Well, also on the way to Portugal.
Oh, yeah. That was an overnight flight, too.
Not on the way back, but on the way.
And I guess this one is kind of the same way. It'll be overnight flight on the way there, but on the way back, it'll just be a really long day.
So, fourth time. So, it kind of depends on how big the seats are. Like, if they're smaller, then yeah, I hate it. But
yeah,
if it's bigger seats where you can actually sort of sleep, then I'm fine with it.
Yeah, usually the airplanes that they fly on these flights that go like international, they're bigger airplanes, so you have a little bit more leg room. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be interesting. I'm getting very excited. I got most of the stuff ready to go. There's really not anything I can think of that should still need to be done except for packing.
Yeah, although
I'm tempted to start doing that, even though it's probably too early to do that.
I kind of already know isn't going to be great is the airplane food. Like, everyone always jokes about it, but like even just thinking about it makes my stomach feel.
Sometimes I've had airplane food that's pretty good.
I mean, yogurt's okay.
I've never flown Air Canada before, and that's what we're flying on the way there. So, I don't know. I imagine there would be like maple syrup and maybe like ketchup chips. But I don't know what else Canadian food is. Canadian bacon.
Maybe.
It'll be some Canadian bacon.
Also known as ham.
Yeah. Round ham. And then on the way back, I think we're flying. It's like Brussels Airlines, but I think it's actually probably going to be a United Airlines flight because they're like what they call a code share. They fly each other's airplanes. So it's probably going to be a United Airlines on the way back.
Oh.
I haven't flown United in a while, so I don't really know what they're like, to be honest.
Yeah.
But I'm excited. Hopefully you're excited too. We're going to have a lot of fun while we're there.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be talking more about that in the future. Also exciting, you watched a very cinematic masterpiece movie recently that I did not get to see. So you're going to have to tell me about it. You're wearing a bright blue shirt that is the same color as the main character of the movie. So.
I watched Sonic.
Yeah.
Me and Will, because we were just kind of bored on a weekend, we went to see Sonic. And I have to say, it was not great.
I believe you saw it on Valentine's Day.
Oh, yeah.
That's how you spent your Valentine's
Day. Or Friday.
Day.
It was on Friday, wasn't it? Because we had school Valentine's off Friday for some reason.
Yeah, for some reason you guys had both Valentine's Day and President's Day, so you had a really long weekend.
Yeah.
So you had Friday and Monday off.
Don't know why we have Valentine's Day on, or day off specifically today, and I don't know why the teachers don't have it off, but basically, so back to the movie. This is a bit of an opinion right here.
Opinions are allowed.
Yeah, but me and Will don't really like Jim Carrey,
yeah.
And I know a lot of people don't. If you don't like Jim Carrey, you're not going to like this movie, but if you do, you might like this movie, because basically,
lot of Jim Carrey.
It's sort of like an in-disguise Jim Carrey movie.
Oh, yeah. He plays, what, the villain?
Yeah.
What's the villain's name?
I think it's Dr. Robotnik.
Dr. Robotnik.
But
I feel like I don't really understand Sonic lore as well. I don't know that I've ever actually played a Sonic game.
Well, there's Hedgehog and you go fast. Yeah. So.
And there are like rings. I don't know.
I guess.
I don't know that I've ever actually played a Sonic game. Except maybe, I don't know, once maybe. But I've never owned a Sonic game.
I have either.
Because Sonic was always on Sega. And we never owned Sega. Yeah. We had an Atari, and then we had a Nintendo. And then we've pretty much been a Nintendo family our whole life.
Yep.
And, like, Sonic has showed up in Nintendo games now, but
yeah.
It used to be he was a Sega character, like, on Sega
Until Sega stopped making consoles.
Right, exactly.
But, yeah, so the movie. It was kind of like I've seen it before. I used way too many, like, tropes and cliches. Like, this is, like, the weirdest one, but at the very beginning, it does a thing where it's, like, a scene from, like, towards the end of the movie, and then there's, like, a record scratch, and it pauses, and it's like, yep, that's me. Now you're probably wondering how I got here.
Yeah. Which might have been clever, like, I don't know, 50 years ago. But pretty much no.
Or, like, in before fact, the 90s.
You know what I think was the first movie that did that?
What?
There was a movie called Sunset Boulevard. That's like a classic old black and white movie. It's like a film noir. And at the very beginning of the movie, it says, it's like the narrator is like talking about this body that's laying dead in a swimming pool. And he's saying, that's me. And so you know that he's going to die. And then it goes back to the beginning and says, I think that was the first movie to do that.
Huh.
Sunset Boulevard.
Didn't Tangled also sort of do that?
Lots of movies have done it. Tons of movies have done it. I mean, Thor Ragnarok yeah. kind of did it a little bit at the very beginning. Yeah, because remember, at the very beginning, he's like tied up in his chains. Yeah. Except it did it like more in a fun way. And it really didn't have anything to do with the main plot. It was just the beginning of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of movies have done it. But I think, and I could be wrong about this, but I think Sunset Boulevard was the very first movie to ever do that.
But yeah, if you like Jim Carrey, then Jim Carrey will probably, I promise this is not intended, carry the movie for you. But if you don't like Jim Carrey, then you're probably not going to like it.
Yeah.
It's not as bad as the Emoji Movie, but it's like bad in the same way, weirdly. Like, it's just extremely average.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think too many movies can claim to be as bad as the Emoji Movie. I think it was funny because I saw a news article that said Sonic is the third highest video game movie ever. And I was like, oh, that's pretty good. And then I was like, wait a minute. How many
What's
good
its competition?
How many good? That's like being the tallest Munchkin in Munchkin Land, you know?
I'm guessing
the third tallest Munchkin in Munchkin Land.
I'm guessing the best video game movie was probably Detective Pikachu.
It might have been. And that's not even saying a ton, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know, like, that's a good question. Actually, now I'm curious and I'm going to look it up.
I feel like
what is
a lot of times, like, companies will make video game movies for money, and that's the problem.
Highest grossing.
Oh, by the way, it's currently number one.
Video game movies.
It's number one, like, in, like, the recent box office tallies, I guess. Or maybe highest grossing for 2020 or something. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. So the highest, you're correct. Detective Pikachu was the highest grossing.
Oh, highest grossing. I thought you were saying, like, highest rated.
No, highest grossing. So it made the most money. Wow. They go downhill fast, though. It's just like... In terms of quality, there just aren't that many quality video game movies. But the highest grossing was Detective Pikachu. The second highest grossing, which I think is still the case. So I think Sonic, this is an older article, but I think it's still the case because I think Sonic comes in third after these two. It's Lara Croft Tomb Raider, which was a 2001 movie that had Angelina Jolie. It made $131 million. Detective Pikachu made $144 million. So I think Sonic came in third. I think they're just saying like it was probably the third highest opening weekend for a video game movie.
Probably.
But I think those two are still the most. On this article that is back from October of last year, guess what the third highest grossing video game movie is? It'll make you want to hit your head against a wall.
The Mario movie.
No, it's not that bad. That didn't even make the list. That was a total flop.
I wonder why.
This movie was not good. It came out in 2016. So it's not that
long ago. Is it Pixels?
No.
Oh.
Pixels, I don't think is based on a video game. It just has a lot of video game type imagery.
Oh, Angry Birds?
Yes.
Hmm.
An Angry Bird movie made $107.5 million.
Hmm.
That's kind of crazy. Because I don't think that movie was very good. And it came out like way after the game was popular.
Yeah.
Like 10 years after. The fourth highest grossing. I forgot that this came out in 2018. It seems like it was more recent than that. Was the movie Rampage.
Oh, that was a video game movie.
Which was based on a video game, but it sort of looked like just a crazy monster movie. And that was 101. Really, like, in terms of, like, video game movies, Sonic really didn't have that much competition.
Yeah.
If you think about it. Like, again, it's like being the third tallest munchkin in Munchkin Land. Mm-hmm. They're not competing against a lot of really successful movies here. So, yeah, that's sort of like, it's almost like a backhanded compliment. Oh, this movie's good for a video game movie.
Yeah.
So, but it was what it was, and you, did you have fun anyway?
I think
it was like a bro movie date with you and your brother. I think your mom was going to go with you just to go to the movie, but then she like tore her fingernail and she had to go to the nail place and get it fixed because otherwise she'd have a broken fingernail. So she just dropped you guys off at the theater. You got to eat some food. What'd you have, like pizza or something?
Pizza, yeah.
It's like one of those movie theaters that'll serve you food while you're eating.
I think it was Movie House and Deidre.
Yeah. And that sounds kind of fun. I've got a movie-related question for you. This is something that was going around Twitter this week. A lot of people were commenting on this.
Oh, no.
What is the movie that messed you up when you were a kid? That you watched when you were a kid and it totally messed you up? Do you have one?
I feel like I do.
I'll tell you what movie messed me up when I was a kid. I remember when I was really little watching Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, and that movie kind of messed me up.
I mean, to be fair,
it's kind of a messed up movie.
Yeah.
I know it's a kid's movie, but like but when you're watching it as a kid, like all these kids go into this chocolate factory
and only and one
horrible
comes
things
out.
Happen to them.
Only one comes out, and also the factory has what's basically supposed to be slaves.
Well, I wasn't thinking about that, but the Oompa Loompas are kind of freaky. But
the also, five kids go in, only one comes out.
Exactly. The one that really freaked me out, I remember this distinctly, and I couldn't have been much more than about 3 or 4 when I watched it, because I remember watching it when we lived in a house where it was like before I was in school. But the one that freaked me out was, I can't remember the name of the kid, but I think it's Violet. I can't remember what her last name is, but she eats. She grabs something and eats it and turns it into a big blueberry. And so she puffs up into this giant blueberry, and then the Oompa Loompas come out and they roll her away. And you never see her again.
Yeah, where'd she go?
And I'm like, what happened? Did they die? Did they get like, what happens to these kids? You don't know. I mean, and I think if you're an adult watching that movie, you just assume that like somehow the kids are brought back to normal. But in the movie, they never really address it, and it's freaky and kind of creepy. That movie messed me up.
Mm, yeah.
So were there any movies like that that kind of messed you up when you were a kid?
I feel like there is, but I can't think of it.
I would think there would be just because, like, you're the youngest of 4 kids, so your brother and sisters were watching movies that were, like, probably, you know, older than a movie you would have watched.
I guess. I'm trying to think.
Yeah, I remember. I also remember when I was a kid, like sometimes my older brother and sister would watch like scary movies and I wouldn't actually watch it with them, but I could like hear it in the other room and that freaked me out.
Mm.
Sometimes it's scarier to hear a scary movie than to watch one.
Well, yeah, because
your imagination goes crazy.
Yeah.
I also remember like when I was a kid and I lived like back east, I lived in New Hampshire, but like one of the places that people would go on like field trips or like, you know, maybe parents would go was to the Salem Witch Museum, which was a museum in Salem, Massachusetts that talked about like the witch trials, like people that were killed as suspected witches back in the like 17th century.
Yeah.
And, it was one of those museums where they had these dioramas and they had like these mannequins and that they would tell the story by like having like spotlights on the mannequins, and they would have voices and stuff. And I remember going there, like, I think I went there with my family. And
how old were you?
So I was probably, you know, I don't know, 6 or 7.
Oh.
Or maybe even younger. And I remember, like, I was too scared to go in where the show was. And so I waited outside. But again, it was like, I was hearing all of the noise and the effects and stuff. And I was outside. And I think it was way scarier for me, like, hearing it than if I would have just gone in and seen it.
Yeah.
Kind of freaked me out.
So basically the moral of the story is that our minds freak us out a lot.
Yeah. No, that's probably not true of all movies. There are probably some movies that are actually scarier to watch, but
I mean, more,
you know what
movies
would
probably not
be scarier to listen to than to watch? A Quiet Place.
Oh yeah.
Cause there's not a whole lot of sound in that movie. There is a little bit, but yeah. So you can't think of anything that you thought was really freaky and scary and like kept you up at night?
I just can't think of anything, but Will, I think he saw like a brief clip from, it's like this movie about like rats and scientists and stuff.
Mrs. Frisbee and the Rats of Nim or the Secret
of Nim? Oh yeah. He saw like, he remembers one scene from that. It's the scene where like one gets injected and like they go crazy or something.
Uh-huh.
I guess that freaked him out.
Yeah. I can see that. I remember, too, like the animated version of Lord of the Rings had like all these skeletons in it. And I thought that was a little bit scary. But I don't think it freaked me out as much. So we talked a little bit about Italy. I want to circle back to that topic again. What foods are you looking forward to eating when we go to Italy? What do you think of when you think of Italian food?
Pasta.
Pasta, for sure.
Yeah.
Particular types of pasta.
And then from there, my mind goes to pizza and like other pizza variants. Sure. And then after that, my mind goes to gelato.
Yes. I think we will have pasta, we will have pizza, and we will have gelato, which is like Italian ice cream. I think those three things, we're definitely going to have when we're there. Anything else you can think of? I think it'd be really interesting to have like authentic Italian pasta and authentic Italian pizza. Because I think it'll be different from what we're used to, you know?
Yeah, which is like, is that New York style?
Well, there's different things. I mean, like Chicago deep dish pizza is a certain type.
Different though, but the normal kind we usually have. Isn't that New York?
New York style pizza is like really thin crust. Sometimes it's like Neapolitan pizza. So it's pizza from Italy, but it's from Naples. So we're not going to Naples. We're going to Rome. So the type of pizza they have in Rome is different from what they have in Naples. There's probably places in Rome where you can get Neapolitan pizza, but there's just different types. I don't know. I mean, it's sort of just American pizza, right? It's what Americans think of. It's round. It's kind of got a thin crust, but it's like a tossed crust. I don't know. That'll be interesting. There's a few other things I'm looking forward to. There's something called Supli. And it is like, it's kind of like, you know what risotto is?
Yeah.
It's a type of rice. Well, they take risotto, this rice, they stuff it with like cheese and sauce. And then they take it into a rice ball and they deep fry it. And so when you bite into it, it's like crispy on the outside, but then it's like got rice and like melted cheese on the inside. That's supposed to be really good. It's like a Roman street food. There's different types of pizza. There's one pizza called Pizza al Taglio, which is like they make it in these big square sheets in the oven. And then you go into a restaurant. And so it's Pizza al Taglio means pizza by the slice. And you just kind of say, I want this much. And they cut you off a piece that big and they weigh it and they sell it by weight. They're like, I want that one, but I want like, and you just kind of gesture with your hands.
I want
this much.
In the shape of a blender or something. I don't know.
The shape of a blender is weird. The shape of the state of Texas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they cut it and they give it to you. And I don't know. That'll be interesting.
I want in the shape of a T10 forklift transmitter.
What's a T10 forklift transmitter?
I don't know. There's memes about it.
Oh, okay.
It's just like a random object.
Definitely gelato. Apparently, one of the things about Rome is there's like a gelato shop on every street. So like there's always a place to get gelato pretty much everywhere you go, which mm-hmm. I'm in favor of that.
Yeah.
I also want to try, do you know what cannoli is?
Ooh.
I want to try cannoli in Italy because really I think it'll be really good. So it's like kind of a tube pastry, and then it's usually stuffed with cheese and maybe chocolate chips or something.
Those are so good.
They also have, you remember when we went to Portugal, they had like hot chocolate, but it was like super thick, like melted chocolate.
Yeah.
They have that in Italy too.
Oh.
So excited about that. They also have just kind of pastries and stuff.
German style?
I think it's like just European.
Oh.
So,
oh, yeah, because there's like European, then what's the thinner one called? Can't remember.
Like Americano, like American version.
American.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. I think there will be a lot of good food. It'd be interesting too. Like, I don't know. I'm curious to see whether you like the food or I think you'll like it, right? You'll want to try it, everything there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also, one of the things I'm excited about trying is like a pasta, but truffles are really popular there. They have like black truffles and white truffles, and it's like a very expensive kind of mushroom. And they hunt them. They hunt them in the wild. Like they used to do it with pigs. Have we talked about this on the podcast before?
Oh, yeah. But now they use dogs?
They used to do it with pigs, and pigs are really good at sniffing them out. The problem, though, with pigs is if a pig finds a truffle, it eats it. So you have to they're not very trainable. But with a dog, you can train a dog to find them, and then the dog won't eat it. So you can.
Yeah.
Yeah. But especially one place we're going. So we're staying in Rome, but then we're going to go up to a place called Orvieto.
Wait, why can't you make truffle farms?
I think that there are ways to do it, but they don't really grow really well in a farm. I don't know exactly what the story is there, but most people hunt them in the wild. Because they're like a mushroom that grows in the wild under certain conditions.
Maybe it's just more fun.
Yeah. So,
or they don't want to cut down trees or something.
I don't really know. I'll have to ask someone who knows more about truffles than I do.
Yeah.
But in Orvieto, so like they'll serve you pasta and they'll like shave truffles on top of it.
That sounds really good.
I bet it's really good.
I don't know what truffles taste like, but I imagine they'd taste really good.
You don't eat them that often unless you're in like a super fancy restaurant because they're very expensive here in the United States. But in Italy, they're not as expensive because they grow them there.
Have you researched what they taste like?
I've tasted, I think I've tasted them before. I've tasted what they call truffle oil, which may or may not have actual truffles in it. But I think like fresh truffles are going to taste a lot better.
But what do they taste like?
They're kind of like a mushroom, but they're very much more like savory. It's hard to describe.
Mm-hmm.
Like they've got a lot of, like a whole bunch of flavor and like a really small amount of food.
Mm.
Yeah. But hopefully in a couple weeks you'll know. You'll be able to know what truffles taste like. All right, let's do some news.
Now your tomorrow morning's headlines tonight.
I'm going to start with a story about what they're calling the Super Flush. So the Texas Rangers built a brand new baseball stadium. And I'm not really sure why, because their old baseball stadium still looks really nice to me, but they didn't ask me. So
money?
They built,
they have money?
I guess. They built a brand new baseball stadium. I think this one might have, I think it might have a roof that they can close, like a closable roof, which is really helpful in Texas in the middle of the summer and you're playing baseball that you can close the roof and turn on the air conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure about that, but I think it might have a closable roof like some of the baseball stadiums have. But the Globe Life Field conducted what they call a super flush test. So in a baseball stadium, it's really important that they be able to flush all the toilets at the same time. So they invited 300 high school students, juniors and seniors, to the stadium, and they divided them up among all of the bathrooms. Apparently in this new baseball stadium, there are 1,100 toilets, including urinals.
Why do they have to be able to flush at the same time?
And they flush them all at the same time to see if it would if the plumbing would hold up. Well, think about it. If you're in a sports stadium, how does it work with sports? You know, how like usually it? There is a time where there's a break in the action.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody gets up to use the bathroom at the same time. So in baseball, it's what they call the seventh inning stretch. So there's a break in between the top and the bottom of the seventh inning. Hmm. And it's kind of like, or like in football game, it'd be like halftime. And that's
makes
when
more sense, honestly.
Everybody goes to the bathroom at the same time. And they want to know what will happen if everybody flushes the toilet. So all these high school students, they divided them up into all the different bathrooms. And they coordinated it so they all flushed the toilets at the same time, and it passed. Hmm. It passed the super flush test. It's funny because they said, apparently these high school students didn't know exactly what they were going to be doing. There's a quote from one of them saying, "I was expecting a tour or something. I wasn't really expecting flushing toilets." Hmm. And then another student named Cindy Lee said, they asked the news person asked Cindy Lee if she's going to put this on her resume. And she said, yes, that I came to a new ballpark to flush toilets and check out the plumbing, but I'll write it where it sounds nice. She's going to change the way she words it. The other thing I noticed about this article, so this is from NBC5 in Dallas, is, of course, you can't do an article about toilets without using some puns, because...
Oh. Puns are delightful. They're like conversational candy.
They say, clearly, no wiping away how important this day is. To sum things up, when a new ballpark opens, the pressure is on to get things right. That's not even a good pun.
Yeah.
So, yes, the Texas Rangers, when they start their new season, will have toilets that can all flush at once. So, good for them. You wanted to share your story?
Sure. This is a pretty short and weirdly specific one. Man slices through 75 pineapples on people's heads in 30 seconds to set a world record.
That might be the strangest world record I've ever heard of.
Okay. So,
and there are a lot of strange ones out there, but that one might be the strangest.
He said that he beat the previous record of 61 pineapples in 31 seconds, which was set in December 2019, so pretty recently. And the people holding the pineapples were apparently volunteers, but who would do that? Like, think about yes. it. If they're trying to slice it as fast as possible, why would you volunteer to hold it on your head? And it says that they sliced it with a sword.
Yeah. This is someone who enjoyed the game Fruit Ninja way too much.
Yeah. Except they're not throwing it. They're just holding it on their head. Still, and you're slicing it as fast as possible.
I'm with you. I don't know why anyone would volunteer to do this. I think it would be fun to be the one slicing the pineapples, but it would not be fun to be the one standing there with a pineapple on your head.
I guess we're sort of assuming it's vertically and not horizontally. I feel like you could just hold it out and then start running if you like.
Yeah, there was a picture. So there was a picture with the news story, and it had like people, and they had like, so imagine that you've got a pineapple on top of your head. Mm-hmm. And I think they had like kind of sliced the pineapple, so it was just the center part of the pineapple. It's balanced on the head, so they just take it along horizontally. And they cut as many pineapples as they can. Just
it's horizontal.
Run down
okay.
a line. So a bunch of people are standing in a line. And they just take the pineapple and just slice through them in one big slice.
It says that the same person who did this, Syed Alavi, he previously set a Guinness World Record for breaking concrete blocks with a hammer.
That because seems a little not? Bit less dangerous, breaking blocks with a hammer.
I still wonder sometimes.
Yeah. He must just really enjoy breaking world records. It seems like we talked about someone who like held a whole bunch of, who held the most world records for, the record for most world records.
Okay, but if you think about how would the most world records thing work? Like, if you think about it, like, if someone had 5 world records, and then they got the 6th one, which is the most world records, and then someone else had also, or someone else also had six, then is it the most world records other than the world record for the most world records?
I think that can be one of them. But I think he had like 80 or 90. It was like a whole bunch.
Well, yeah, but like this is just an example. Like, but if you added the record to the other person, then they would still, they would have two more than the previous person because they wouldn't get it anymore. I don't know. It's just confusing to think about.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy. I think that when I read these stories about new world records, I think half of it is just thinking up something crazy that no one's ever done before. And then you can have the world record for that because no one else can prove that they've ever, you know, eaten 50 ants in 10 seconds, you know?
In 10 seconds, well,
although there probably is a record for that one.
In 10 seconds while sitting on a window sill.
Or like, you know, sliding down a slippery slide while eating watermelon or something.
And spraying bug spray all over the place. Right. I don't know.
Yeah, just part of it's just thinking up something crazy.
Yeah.
Well, shifting gears a little bit. Here is a story involving medicine. I suppose you could say that it's medical. Science! And this is kind of a cool story. It also kind of freaks me out a little bit, but it's a really cool story.
Oh, no.
A musician played violin during her brain surgery. You're making faces.
Was she conscious?
She was awake and playing the violin her brain was being operated on.
Why wasn't she unconscious?
And there's actually a really good reason for this. So this is from National Public Radio. It says, as doctors in London performed surgery on Dagmar Turner's brain, a sound of violin filled the operating room. The music came from the patient on the operating table. In a video from the surgery, the violinist moves her bow up and down as surgeons began behind a plastic sheet, work to remove her brain tumor. So Dagmar Turner was a professional violinist, and she had a brain tumor. And the tumor had been there for a few years, but it had started to aggressively grow, and she decided that she needed a brain surgery to have it removed.
I mean, it's not brain surgery or anything.
It absolutely is brain surgery. True. But it was really important to her that she still be able to play the violin. So one of the surgeons, whose name is Kianomars Ashkan, he's a neurosurgeon at King's College in London. He said in the article, he says, we knew how important the violin is to Dagmar. So it was vital that we preserve the function in the delicate areas of her brain that allowed her to play. Dr. Ashkin is actually an accomplished piano player himself. So he kind of understood and sympathized with her about how important it was to be able to do her profession and be a musician.
But if she wasn't unconscious, wouldn't she feel a ton of pain?
No. Interestingly, your brain does not feel pain when it's being sliced into.
I guess that makes sense since nerves go into your brain, but your brain wouldn't have nerves like...
Yeah, I don't exactly know how that works, but this is actually a fairly common thing. They've been doing these type of brain surgeries for a long time where the patient is conscious while their brain is being operated on. So what they did is they took some functional MRI and they mapped her brain before they did the surgery. So they had her play her violin and they mapped the brain in an MRI to see... like which parts of the brain lit up while she played her violin. Yeah. And then they took that map and they slice off the whole top of your head, remove it, and they start doing surgery on the brain. So they had a map of like where the tumor was and where the parts of the brain and what they could do is the reason they had her play the violin is then they could tell if there were like changes in her fine motor skills as the surgery was progressing. So if she was able to keep playing the violin throughout the surgery, they knew that they hadn't damaged any parts of the brain that allowed her to play the violin.
So like if she like started messing up a ton, they'd be like, oh dang it. And then they put a chunk of brain back.
Yeah. Sometimes what they'll do is they'll show people pictures during their brain surgery and say, what is this? And the person will be able to answer them. And so then they know that they're not interfering with the speech abilities. But for her, it was really important that she be able to play the violin. The surgery was a success. They were able to remove about 90% of the tumor, and they think they got all of the parts that were aggressively growing. And at the conclusion of the surgery, she was able to still play the violin. So it's actually really, really interesting. They've done this sort of thing before. There was a surgery that was done in Carnegie Mellon University to a music teacher. And the surgeon in that case said it was very tricky because the area of the brain they were operating on can actually lead to loss of the knowledge of how to conduct music and how to understand music.
So
if you're a music teacher, you might lose all your ability about music.
Okay, so my guess is what they had to do here was like they were doing brain surgery while she was saying like, oh, and remember to mark the A sharp and measure 35.
Yeah. Yeah. So the Dagmar Turner said, the violin is my passion. I've been playing since I was 10 years old. The thought of losing my ability to play was heartbreaking, but being a musician himself, Dr. Ashkan understood my concerns. The procedure is called an awake craniotomy, where patients are awake in order to assess their critical brain function during the surgery. And it mentions in the article that these functional MRIs have made the surgery. They've been doing these surgeries for like many, many years, but functional MRIs have made the surgeries much more precise. So they can go in with a brain map that really helps them.
I just realized something about you not being able to feel pain in your brain. Like, if you think about it, can you feel your brain in your head right now?
No, you really don't. When you're having a headache, it's not like in your brain. It's like on the outside of your brain, in your skull.
Yeah.
In your skull or your sinuses. You don't really feel your brain. It's weird to think about.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a weird but really cool story.
Yeah.
It would be freaky to have to be awake while your brain's being operated on, but it's really, really important.
if they
want to get the brain surgery right. So, yes. It is, in fact, brain surgery.
Well, it's not rocket science, I guess.
Yeah. Okay, William is joining us.
Hello.
And we are going to do a segment we have not done in a while. We're going to do some either or.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, either or.
And start with a very hot and topical one.
Oh, boy.
So, because I haven't done this in a while, in case you're a new listener to the podcast, the way this works is I mentioned two things. Other people on the podcast with me tell me which one they think is the right answer, and I tell them if they are right or wrong.
All right.
Okay, so this is just a guess, but since we're a family-friendly podcast, I'm guessing it's going to be something political, like Democrat or Republican.
It's even more controversial than that.
Wait, what?
The first either-or is Baby Yoda or Jedi Master Yoda?
Baby Yoda.
I mean, that's kind of like when you're like ranking characters from a TV show and it's like, should I put the comedic, funny one-liner side characters above the actually complex side characters? And because of that, I'm going to have to say Adult Yoda.
Jedi Master Yoda. Henry says Baby Yoda.
I like them both, though.
William says Jedi Master Yoda. This is tough.
Okay, 1 second. I have to complain, or not complain, but like, I don't know why I said complain, but like explain why Baby Yoda isn't really a character, but is more an extension of the Mandalorian. So basically, like, the entire point, like, Baby Yoda still does add depth to the main character. It's not like the character is just thrown in.
I feel like, obviously, Baby Yoda is more enjoyable, like, every time he's on screen, but, like, it's more of an accomplishment to make, like, a like actual, like, fully-fleshed character like Yoda. So
what makes this either-or kind of difficult is sometimes you're forced to choose between two really good things. Baby Yoda and Jedi Master Yoda are both really good.
I say Jedi Master Yoda.
But the correct answer, William, is Baby Yoda. So Henry got that one right.
Okay, Baby Yoda adds complexity to another character, so I think it like bounces out.
Jedi Master Yoda is one of the best characters in the Star Wars universe,
true,
but Baby Yoda is essential to the Mandalorian, and the Mandalorian is one of the best parts of Star Wars.
True.
Yeah. Okay, but like, I'm going to use this as a comparison. If I were to rank the characters of The Office, I would put Jim above Creed. Because even though Creed is, like, amazing and hilarious, Jim is still, like, a three-dimensional fleshed-out character. And, like...
Yeah, but I think the difference there is they're both part of the same show.
Mm-hmm.
Baby Yoda is not actually Yoda, and it's part of a different Star Wars series.
But I feel like in that comparison, like, if Creed... If the point of Creed was not just comic relief, but also helping another character be more fleshed out, then it would be Creed.
Okay.
In my opinion.
I guess I can see that. But then that should be giving points to The Mandalorian.
All right. Well, Yoda, I feel like. Henry got that one right. I'm sorry to say, William, you got that one wrong. The next one. So we talked about earlier on the podcast, we're about to get on some airplanes and fly for a long, long time.
Mm.
This one is airplane related. And the question is window seat or aisle seat? I'm not going to put middle seat because no one wants the middle seat.
That's true.
So is it window seat or aisle seat? What's the correct answer?
That is a no-brainer. Window seat.
Okay. I feel like the window seat, like, yeah, you do get to see yourself lift off, but you can also see that from the aisle seat, in my opinion, too. Or at least some people can. I mean, I have really good eyesight. I don't know. But here's what makes it difficult for me. Like, if we're talking, like, longer range or, like, longer flights, then, like, with the aisle seat, you can, like, get up and, like, walk to the bathroom and stuff. But with the window seat, you can sleep better because there's a wall. So...
Also, it feels more comfortable when you're, like, inside.
Window seat?
I know some people might get, like,
claustrophobic.
No, wait. Actually, aisle seat because you feel less cramped.
One of us is right, according to Dad.
You both say window seat? No. William said window seat. Henry said aisle seat.
You're going to say window, though.
The correct answer.
Oh no.
William is answer. Window seat.
Yes.
Henry, I'm afraid you're wrong. Now, this requires a little bit of explanation though, because when I travel, I actually choose the aisle seat. So you would think I would say aisle seat is the correct answer.
I didn't think that though. I knew you'd say window seat.
But window seat is actually the correct answer, even though that's not my preference. The reason I like the aisle is sometimes you can stretch out a little bit better in the aisle. And what you mentioned earlier is you can get up and use the bathroom whenever you want to.
And
you
also don't have like more
air. You don't
air.
Have to make people get up when you want to go use the bathroom.
Okay, Dad.
But being able to look out the window, especially when you're your age, is really cool.
Okay, Dad, this is either or. It shouldn't be this objective.
And it is really nice if you want to rest that you can like lean your head against the bulkhead.
Okay,
I thought either or was supposed to be based off of Dad's singular subjective biased opinion.
No, either or is to determine the objective truth.
Okay, the point of either or is taking really weird dad opinions and pretending that they're fact.
Yes. It is arriving at the objective truth is the point of either or. All right, here's the next one. Hummus or baba ganoush?
Hummus. Baba ganoush just tastes... I feel like they made it too complicated.
Hummus.
Weirdly.
Hummus is more versatile.
True.
So hummus is made of chickpeas. Baba ganoush is made of chickpeas and also eggplant. They're both Mediterranean spreads.
Mediterranean
you both say hummus.
Yeah.
And you are both correct. I really like baba ganoush, but hummus is more versatile. William nailed it.
There aren't that many like varieties of baba ganoush. It's pretty good, but I also just think hummus.
They're both really good, but hummus is the correct answer.
Now I really want to eat Mediterranean food.
Yeah.
The next one
is great.
This one is also difficult, but black licorice or black licorice jelly beans?
What?
Jelly beans?
This is such like, a weirdly specific
overall. Okay, that's difficult.
I mean,
that is weirdly specific.
What?
Black licorice or black licorice jelly beans?
Can I flip a coin?
These are controversial. A lot of people don't like either.
Orange doorknobs but some people or deep love yellow doorknobs.
Both.
True.
But they're you acknowledge they're different things though, right?
Yeah.
Because jelly beans are different from licorice.
And the flavor is slightly different, but I feel like...
All right.
Yeah, a lot of people are going to like... I'm sorry if we lose followers for this, but normal black licorice.
All right. I'm going to hot take, and now that I said a hot take, it's like instantly inoffensive and people will love me for it. I'm going to say black licorice jelly beans.
All right. Henry, you say black licorice. I'm afraid you're correct.
I'm sorry, but
William, Black Licorice Jelly Beans
have more depth. They're slightly more better. They're bitter. If you really like, take a bit to really like, savor it.
They're less bitter.
They're really good.
They're sweeter.
I don't hate Black Licorice Jelly Beans, but Black Licorice itself is better.
Also, I feel like with Black Licorice Jelly Beans, it does, like, the texture doesn't fit the flavor.
Black
weirdly.
Licorice Jelly Beans have, like, a stronger flavor. So, basically, if you eat Black it's Licorice stronger, Jelly Beans and you're a real
sweeter.
Man, if you have Black Licorice Licorice, then you
lot,
are...
A lot
they kind
of times,
cover it up with sugar.
Only
a lot
real.
Of times, I don't know if you're aware of this, but a lot of times if you have jelly beans that include Black Licorice Jelly Beans, they're pretty low-quality jelly beans. All right, the last either-or. This one is also going to be difficult and controversial. I'm warning you right now.
Oh, boy.
The last either-or is Barney the Dinosaur or Jar Jar Binks.
I have a strong... Wait.
Wait, what?
What?
Barney the Dinosaur
they're both,
or Jar Jar Binks.
I was thinking
this
you'd
is
say
sort
something
of
like
the,
Dora or
this
something.
This is sort of the inverse of the Baby Yoda, Jedi Master Yoda. This is choosing sure. between two horrible things and deciding which one is less horrible.
That is like saying, like...
They're really good Barney memes, okay? I know it's a weird thing to say, but I'm going to say Barney because he's cha-cha real smooth.
That is like saying apples or Senator Mitt Romney. Like, it's just two completely random things.
I feel like they're weirdly similar. Like, they're weird dinosaurs that no one likes. Except for kids.
Jar Jar is not
very
a dinosaur,
little kids.
First of all.
Be quiet.
It does suck, though.
Yeah, but they're both only liked by very little kids.
I would say Barney, because Barney at least has, like, good intentions, whereas Jar Jar Binks spawns from hatred and evil.
So you both say Barney the Dinosaur is better than Jar Jar Binks?
Yes.
Jar Jar, real smooth.
Well, I'm afraid to say you're both correct.
Okay.
The reason that Jar Jar Binks is worse than Barney the Dinosaur, and both are, don't get me wrong, both are terrible. But the reason that Jar Jar Binks is worse is because Barney the Dinosaur doesn't really ruin the shows he's in. The shows he's in are for kids. They're meant to be like for very young kids.
I would
Jar
okay,
Jar Binks
you say like
ruin Star Wars movies.
I would
okay,
say
okay.
First
that
of
is
all,
stretching it.
There are many
the
problems
Phantom
with Star
Menace,
Wars prequels.
To be fair, I probably would have fallen
saying
asleep.
He's the, I'm not saying he's the only bad thing in the movies he's in.
Okay, I have to. Okay,
yes,
this is going to sound really, really
thing.
Dumb. And I know he is kind of the worst thing about. Okay, but I feel like without Jar Jar being like. So annoying that I can, like, I don't know. I just feel like I would have fallen asleep if he wasn't constantly in my face being so annoying.
Yeah.
It's like you watching a really boring documentary and then someone screaming in your face.
Yeah, I've seen... Well, first of all, that sounds very unpleasant. Second of all, I have seen some people make that argument online. And I think... Okay, first of all, I don't know why I haven't heard seen more people argue about this, but I cannot tell what Jar Jar is saying because he has such a thick accent.
That's true.
Like, you can't tell
that's
what he's
exactly
saying.
What it sounds like, honestly.
It's a strange and a little bit offensive accent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a weird choice for a movie that was kind of intended for kids.
Okay.
But anyway, so we all got that one right.
First of all,
is Barney the Dinosaur. Jar Jar Binks is...
Yes.
I actually
got a rant about this. I have seen 1.5 episodes of the prequels because I had to shut it off after that awful kiss scene between Anakin where I was like yelling at the TV screen.
I hate the scene.
Yeah, but okay. Finished Attack of the Clones yet.
The Phantom Menace is directed at a very adult audience except for Jar Jar and like the kid. It doesn't know what audience to give it to because it starts talking about like politics and like the opening crawl is like, the new tax tariff taxation laws have... Blah, blah, blah. That kind of stuff does not appeal to kids. So I guess they try to throw in Jar Jar, but that makes it so that it just has two different conflicting tones. Jar Jar is just completely out of place, and he has no reason to exist.
And he is super annoying.
And yeah.
Well, I guess I opened a real can of worms there, even though we agreed about what the answer was.
Those movies can't decide whether they're made for kids or not.
There's only one last thing to do on the podcast, and that is...
Three words for you. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
For treat yourself... I got some brand new cereals. There's a whole bunch of new cereals lately. I don't know if you noticed this, but there's some strange cereals. It kind of reminds me when like in the very early days of Saturday Night Live, there was a commercial. Let me see if I can find it.
Oh, is it the Taco Time commercial?
No.
Cereal Time.
In the very early days of Saturday Night Live, back when people thought that this was not possible.
John Belushi is on his way to a gold medal in the decathlon. They're wow. setting the bar at 7 feet. Here's his approach. And he got it! Belushi's won the gold. Now he's going for the world's record. He's making his move. They're in the final turn. He's kicking it in. He's got it! A spectacular time. A new world's record. Okay. Unbelievable. What a day for John Belushi.
I logged a lot of miles training for that day, and I downed a lot of donuts. Little chocolate donuts.
Is that
taste good? And they've got the sugar I need to get me going in the morning. That's why little chocolate donuts have been on my training table since I was a kid.
What is the doctor's name? Like Murray something?
Little chocolate donuts. The donuts of champions.
So in this commercial, like, it was supposed to be a parody of like Wheaties, because Wheaties used to sponsor a lot of like Olympic athletes, but the joke was that, like, instead of eating like Wheaties, he's eating little chocolate donuts. And so that was a really funny joke until now. They probably they have like donut cereal, like cereal in the shape of donuts, and the cereals that I have for Treat Yourself are Hostess Honey Bun cereal, Hostess Twinkies cereal, and drumstick cereal.
Does this qualify for the Jeff Goldblum scientist drop?
Probably.
Your scientists were so preoccupied with whether or not they could, they didn't stop to think if they should.
So, we're going to try these. They all look like things that you should be eating for dessert, not for breakfast.
I'm actually really excited for these, honestly.
I think they kind of seem like a mess.
Yeah.
I have a question for you also. I think we're going to start with Hostess Honey Buns. Does anybody like Hostess Honey Buns? I don't think they're very good. I've never wanted...
Does anyone?
They're fine.
It's not like what I would pick. If I was going to pick some Hostess snack cake, the last thing I would pick is Hostess Honey Buns.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing I would pick was
very
Finkies.
Good. They're like a really stale sweet
they're
bun.
Weird.
The Ding Dongs are pretty good.
But we'll try that first. We'll see if the cereal is better than the actual thing. So all of the cereal is in the shape of a Hostess Honey Bun.
Honey buns are really dry and weirdly crunchy, so it seems like it would translate well to cereal.
Yeah, to me, they kind of taste stale. That's what I don't like about them. It's not like a freshly baked
cereal.
Yeah.
Cereal's supposed to be stale.
They're like
until you add milk.
It's fine for cereal cinnamon to be, rolls. But like the snack cake, I just don't think is very good.
They're just store-bought cinnamon rolls.
So, they actually smell pretty good.
I'm pretty excited for these.
We've got little tiny sample bowls here.
We'll say a lot of times in companies make like an ice cream variant or like a cereal version.
I'm going to pass around a jug of milk. Try really hard not to spill it. It's hard
times,
because your sample bowl is really small.
A lot of times it's just like some normal type of ice cream or some normal type of cereal. But it sounds like these can actually justify the existence by like actually being like honey buns and actually being distinctive.
All right, what do you guys think of Hostess Honey Bun cereal from Post?
It tastes They're like...
They taste like something. I don't know
it
what.
It tastes like this one cereal.
It tastes like honeycomb.
Honey nut.
Honeycomb. That's what they taste
Cheerios.
Like.
Honey nut Cheerios.
Not Honey Nut Cheerios. Maybe honeycomb. But I really like those.
I don't think I've tried
That's
honeycomb.
Though this kind or like really flavors that. The milk really
It was
well.
Better than but I yeah. thought it would be. I actually like it too. I did not expect to, but I find it delicious.
Yeah.
That's great. I expected it to be good.
Delicioso.
I really like cereal or like cinnamon flavor, like fake cinnamon flavor in cereal.
I just noticed on the back of the Twinkies box, it's like it has like a phrase. It has like that thing where it has a phrase and that has a description, but like the phrase sounds like it was badly Google translated. Like it says. Wait, can you tilt it towards me?
It is really strange.
Tilt it towards
me? It's like it was written by someone who doesn't really know English.
Or badly Google translate. It says the snack cake golden child is now a cereal.
The snack cake golden child is now a cereal.
It's a long story how we got here. But me and Henry are joking that if Thanos had a cereal. Or I can't remember
let's
if Henry was there
about,
or not.
Let's not talk about Thanos.
I don't think I was there.
I don't think that's going to be Thanos.
Close enough related. That's not, I'm sorry. That's okay, but I don't know.
Okay.
It's just. Yeah, that is really strange. Like, whoever wrote that, that's an odd thing to come up with. A snack cake.
It sounds
golden
ominous.
Child.
The
snack cake golden child?
The snack cake golden child.
What if this
child.
Is like. I feel like this is like the end to a. Like, national treasure or something.
Yeah, the snack cake like golden one, child.
It There's, smells really strong. It's got a really strong vanilla smell to it. I'm not sure if I like it or not.
Well, waiter, or order one snack cake golden child.
Somewhere inside the bag, there's a map to the one Twinkies cereal box that contains the snack cake golden child. And if we get it, we unlock the secret to, I don't know, unlimited free post cereal. We just get a... At the very end, there's just a whole bunch of coupons. Just a whole bunch of post coupons.
Related tweet
that's
I saw on Twitter.
National treasure.
Someone had posted. Someone called someone a national treasure. And someone else replied to that. Does that mean Nicolas Cage is coming after me?
He says that like it's a bad thing.
Well, she said, does that mean Nicolas Cage is coming after me? Because I hope so.
Oh. That gives it a new context.
Yeah. All right.
So I think at this point it's fair to say that these cereals are way better than they have the right to be.
Yeah.
That was really good.
Although one thing I noticed about this one is that the cereal itself wasn't fluffy and they couldn't really make it fluffy because it had to be like dry. But make up for that, they add like a thin layer of powdered sugar, which seems like it would be a good idea, but it actually didn't really work that well.
I thought it was just okay.
The aftertaste,
I thought
actually,
the texture was kind of odd.
Yeah. They are kind of like bean shaped. The aftertaste actually tastes like a Twinkie. It's weird.
Only the aftertaste though.
That's maybe slightly better than the last one. I don't know. Maybe on par.
I like the honey buns
are better in my opinion, but I'm still going to give this delicious.
All of these are so. All of these are sugary cereals, but like these aren't just like disappointing, like Cookie Crisp or Cocoa Krispies. These are high quality sugary cereals.
So the honey buns and the Twinkies are both from Post. There were a whole bunch of new ones at the store that I could have chose from. This one is a General Mills
the drumstick
cereal.
One.
It's drumstick, like the Nestle drumstick.
Except,
it's like the ice cream cone.
And this seems like a very General Mills thing to do. I don't know why. I guess they also made this more cereal. But instead of making it like a bunch of drumsticks, they made it like different parts of a drumstick.
So it's kind of like Golden Grahams with some cocoa nuggets and ice cream flavored nuggets.
By the way, I've always thought that General Mills like wins the award for like most boring brand name ever.
Like, yeah.
Even their like logo isn't interesting. It's just
a
text.
Cursive G and then some text and
it's
a heart.
Text in like standard font.
Alright. Yeah. So we'll see what these are like.
I like General Mills cereals.
There were some other ones at the store that I could have chose from. I could easily do like two different treat yourselves from all the different new kinds they have. They have some that are like that look like Hershey Kisses. I was tempted to get those. It was like Hershey Kiss cereal.
Maybe we could start.
Which is really not very many steps away from little chocolate donuts, if you think about it. Like Hershey Kisses. Yeah. So I expected to like the drumstick the best, but these are really not that great.
It's like the s'more cereal. It's like the s'more cereal, but they decrease the flavor on the chocolate. I mean, that's the graham crackers the same.
I like the s'mores cereal a lot.
Instead of the good marshmallows, they replaced it like with like weird ice cream nuggets that are just kind of bland.
I actually like the s'mores cereal, but this is really meh.
Meh. Yeah.
This is actually...
Meh.
I'll say it's okay, but this is actually like on par with Cookie Crisp. This is actually like on par with Cookie Crisp, which is disappointing.
Yeah, it's
Cookie Crisp.
It's just not enough flavor. Like the individual pieces of cereal just don't have a lot of flavor.
It tastes really
cardboardy.
One thing I kind of do like about it, the kind of like, I don't know, Cinnamon Toast Crunch shaped like graham cracker things, they kind of taste like Doritos.
What?
Which doesn't sound good. But I don't know. Something about them tastes like a bit too salty.
They're corny.
Can you hand me the box? I suspect that this one is actually like the best for you of the ones that we tried.
I mean,
but no, it's actually not that great.
None of them are. None of them are great for you.
Yeah. None of them are really that great, and this one is no exception. It tastes. It's just the flavor's not good, and it tastes very cardboardy to me. It's. I expected
with milk,
to like
it has
this one.
Skim milk, it has 10.
Because I really
ten,
like the s'mores one.
With skim milk, it has 10 more calories than the Twinkies one, which is kind of really concerning.
That is a little concerning.
A lot of people ask me how I stay so in shape. And I'll tell you my secret. Every morning, I eat a big bowl of Twinkies Golden Child.
The Twinkies is really not good for you, though. Like, in terms of like vitamins and stuff, it has hardly anything.
I'll tell you my secret. I just inject sugar. Bun.
It looks like the honey bun is actually the best for you, and
I'm
is
not
the best
surprised.
Tasting too.
I don't know
what
why.
What is the full
I'm
name of
surprised.
The like Golden Child or something?
Oh no, no, no! It's not. It's just called the Twinkie cereal. But on the back it says. Really.
And strangely, the honey buns has the fewest calories too, which I wouldn't have guessed.
And I have to get close to the mic for this one just for the effect. But
Snack Cake Golden Child.
The Snack Cake Golden Child is now a cereal.
I don't understand Snack Cake Golden Child.
Listen,
Snack
Cake Golden I'll tell you my secret. Every morning I wake up and I get a big bowl of Snack Cake Golden Child.
I tell you, Snack Cake Golden Child is going to make its way into the title of this episode, though.
That's enough for...
It definitely is.
That's enough to really get me energized for the day. Really get me pepped up.
I finally found it. The legendary Snack Cake Golden Child.
This is not sponsored.
All right. Well, that is Treat Yourself, and that is our podcast. Thanks, William, for joining for Either Or and Treat Yourself. Thanks, Henry, for being on the podcast today.
Thank you.
And thank you especially to anyone who's listening. If you are listening, let us know. You can tweet us at TTD Podcast. You can send us an email at talktodadpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us at Talk to Dad Podcast on Instagram or Facebook. You can find us at talktodadpodcast.com where you can download and stream all of our episodes. If you want to help us out, there's two things you can do. One, you can tell a friend. And two, you can leave us a 5-star review wherever you found the podcast. If you subscribe, rate, and review us, that helps us be more visible to other people who might be looking for a good family-friendly podcast to listen to. This has been a lot of fun, and we will see you later.
It's time for